pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning and welcome to hour number two of the Jeff Poor Show. We do appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line if you would like to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. That's number one. Number two, still to come on the program, Dale Jackson joins us in about 30 minutes at the 11 o'clock hour. Steve Flowers will join us to get state of the gubernatorial and senatorial races and anything else going on in Montgomery. Obviously, legislature in special session right now. We talk about that. We'll talk more about the Greg Allbritton hit here in just a moment. But joining us now, speaking of the U.S. Senate race, I'm very pleased to be joined by our next guest, Katie Britt, running for U.S. Senate, running for Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate here in Alabama. Katie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am doing well, a little bit cold, but ready to get the week started. I have to imagine, though, that you had a great weekend, given that Kentucky-Auburn basketball game.
Yeah, it is always fun to watch Auburn do excel in any of its athletic endeavors, but I'm always reluctant to get too high emotionally on Auburn, because Auburn will break your heart, if you may or may not know. But
I think Bruce Pearl is the real deal. Looks like he has got that program moving in the right direction. It's certainly going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with that. Katie, let's kick it off here. Campaign still kind of moving along. You really had a meteoric rise there. I think coming out of last year, you able to try to continue some of that momentum here in the new year?
Absolutely. We are going to keep pounding the pavement and the dirt roads. As you know, the first 6 months of this campaign, so the last half of the year, we visited every single county in the state. You know, I believe every community, every person, every child matters. We did a lot of listening, you know, just talking to people, hearing about, you know, what they're concerned about, hearing about their opportunities, hearing about their resiliency, what they hope this country can be for their children. And people have been responding to our message, Jeff. You know, people want someone who's going to fight for their Christian conservative values. They want new blood. They want fresh blood. They are sick of the same old, and are ready to make sure that we have someone in the Senate that will fight to preserve the country we know and love for our children and our children's children.
Remarkably, you hit all 67 counties once. I guess you're going to make another go around here, but what are you hearing? You know, so much of our politics right now, at least as far as I can tell, when you talk to people about it, seems to be very motivated by what's going on in Washington, D.C., people really concerned for the country, Joe Biden really not living up to what we were told was going to be some grand expectations. That seems to be where a lot of the focus, even here in Alabama, seems to be.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you can sum it all up. Bottom line, every day of Biden's presidency, our country becomes weaker and more vulnerable, period. And every single community across the state, you're hearing that. You know, it's one of those things, Jeff, typically in a political campaign, you know, there will be just, you know, a handful of issues, right, that everyone is touching on. Unfortunately for our nation, every single thing is moving in the wrong direction. So whether it is our border that, you know, Joe Biden has allowed to become the most porous border ever, and, you know, we've seen millions of people come across, whether it is foreign affairs, and which I hope we'll have an opportunity to talk about. But, you know, back in May, when the Iranian-backed Hamas terrorists sent the 4,000 rockets over, and thank goodness for the Iron Dome to protect both innocent lives of Israelis and Palestinians. But just the way that he handled that, the way that he handled Afghanistan, I mean, Jeff, people still are not over that, and they shouldn't be, because never did they think they would see an American president get on bended knee to the Taliban, you know, allowing them to dictate how and why and when we would leave, you know, and leaving Americans behind enemy lines, leaving Christian missionaries behind enemy lines, and not keeping our word to our allies. I mean, what happened there? And people are saying it all across the state. It emboldened our enemies and it undermined our credibility. And now we are seeing the effects of that firsthand with the fact that Putin does not care what Joe Biden thinks, because he knows he is a weak president. and he is the exact opposite of Trump. You know, you had Reagan that preached peace through strength. You had Donald Trump who practiced it. And now that we have Biden at the helm, it doesn't matter if it's China and encroaching on Taiwan. It doesn't matter, obviously, if it's Russia right here with Ukraine. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, here at home with communities not respecting our law enforcement officers, you know, and not respecting the job they do every single day, leaving the safety of their home so that we can return to the safety of ours. I mean, he has undermined our credibility. He has weakened our country, and he has made it more vulnerable every single day he sits in the Oval Office.
Katie, while we're on the topic of foreign policy, let's talk about Russia, Ukraine. That is at least I'm told by people that maybe it's being a little overblown. I don't really understand, but what would be an appropriate U.S. response should Russia move ahead and move troops into Ukraine and I guess begin an invasion? Does how far should the U.S. go under those circumstances?
Well, first off, I think we're, you know, a day late and a dollar short, as Joe Biden typically always is. And we are in this situation, and I don't think we should let this go. We are in this situation because of the weakness he has shown. If you look at this, you know, obviously when Obama was in office in 2014 and, you know, we had the invasion of Crimea and, you know, then you have Trump come in. And think about this, Jeff. They didn't move a muscle. You know, Russia wasn't trying to encroach in any area, into any sovereign nation, nothing. Because, you know, when they thought that that was the case, where, you know, you have kind of sort of this Obama-Biden plan of, like, we're going to send them blankets and hope we can keep them warm, you have Trump who sent them bombs and, you know, weaponry and said, here you go. We're going to make sure you can defend yourself. And so Putin saw that. And did not make any advances. So now I really don't think we need to let Biden off the hook here. We are in this position today because of his weakness. So if you rewind, obviously 2014, Crimea, then you move into his presidency and you look at what he's done there. He gave an extension, obviously, to the START treaty without Russia having to negotiate or give any type of concessions. He said, oh yeah, what Obama negotiated, we're going to just keep that. We're going to give you a 5-year extension and just let you keep on keeping on. Then you look at what happened with the Colonial Pipeline, right? So Russian hackers attack the pipeline. What does Biden do? Nothing, except for give them a list of things that he is hopeful that they will not touch in the future. You know, and obviously we saw our energy prices shift moving upward when that occurred. Then you look at Nord Stream 2 and the removal of sanctions there. And what did he get in return? Nothing. So I really want to make sure that Americans realize we are in this position today, you know, with Putin putting 140 troops there on the border because of Joe Biden's weakness, because he does not know how to project strength. He does not know how to negotiate. He just wants to pander to the Russians, to the Chinese, and others, and he is hopeful that will work. And we are seeing today that it just doesn't.
Well, I guess the irony is this is what, you know, Ukraine was what the first impeachment was all about, and it's just not clear. There's a clear direction there. Yesterday on the Sunday show, Secretary of State Antony Blinken kept saying we're going to have a strong response, we're going to have a serious response. No one really would define what that is. What do you think, though? How far should the U.S. go? Do we need to send armaments? Do we need to send troops? Do we need to send, or do we do the usual sanction thing? What would be appropriate here?
Yeah, well, it would be appropriate, obviously, to have crushing sanctions on Russia. I mean, I think that is incredibly important. I think you look at their natural gas and oil and you go ahead and just dig in where you know it hurts the most, between that and between the banking industry. You know, don't let them have access to SWIFT. I mean, all of these things matter. And I'd also like to point out just how our domestic policy affects our foreign policy. You know, Jeff, if you look at this, obviously you look at Biden and he cuts off, you know, he says, nope, we're no longer going to do the Keystone Pipeline, when we actually, the U.S. has the biggest natural gas, you know, supply in the world. So imagine if we had that, you know, because right now you have Germany that's kind of sort of sitting there wondering what to do, because obviously they get the majority of their supply from Russia, you know, and if we were energy independent, if we had the opportunity and the ability to provide these resources to others, it would really change the game. So again, no one needs to let Biden off the hook here. I mean, this is a direct response of his weakness and his domestic policy and how that interplays with foreign policy. But back to what we need to do, obviously crushing sanctions. I feel strongly about that. I also believe in, you know, sending them the weaponry they need in order to defend themselves. I think that is important. We saw Trump do it, and we saw that serve as a deterrent. And I think we've got to continue that now.
Joined by Katie Britt. She's running for U.S. Senate here in Alabama for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate. Katie, the other adversary in the world, the U.S. has, obviously a lot of problems with China. I'll ask you this. Olympic Games, Winter Olympics about to begin. Should the U.S. be sending its athletes to China to participate in these Winter Olympics?
No. I mean, these are Olympics of genocide. I mean, what they are doing to their own people right in front of the world stage, and for us to allow such a celebration, such a monumental event to occur right there in the midst of it is disgusting. And I understand that we have, you know, many people who train for years to be there, and I certainly, everyone wants them to have that opportunity. But I think protecting human rights, standing up against genocide, is far more important than anything else we could possibly do.
Katie, we'll kind of get you out of here on this. This is a question from a texter, kind of an easy one, I think, to walk through. But he wants to know, I guess there's a lot of there's a thinking that whoever emerges from the Senate primary and is a nominee, you guys would probably vote the same way on a lot of things. How are you different from your opponents, Mike Durant and Mo Brooks, if you were to be a U.S. senator?
Yeah, well, tell him I really appreciate him or her. I really appreciate the question. So absolutely going to be strong on our conservative issues. I'm going to be outspoken. I'm going to work to move the needle and build coalitions to really affect change. I believe you have to lead in a way that allows others to follow. I also think there is no doubt, obviously being the only candidate that was born here and then raised here, I love this state. I believe in Alabama. I believe in who we are in our story. And I want to make sure that no child zip code in this state determines their opportunity. And that means being a true advocate, an advocate for growing good paying jobs and growing those opportunities and making sure children have a path to success. I mean, we have a lot of things in this state to be proud of. We also have a lot of things, challenges that we're going to have to hit head on to make sure that the next generation can reach its full potential. I say I want Alabama to be a place my kids want to raise their kids, and I'm going to fight every single day to make sure that that is the case and that we are in the best place possible, both as a state and a nation, as a result of my service.
Katie, folks want to check you out online. They want to look up the website, find out more about where you will be. Tell them where they can look.
Absolutely, Jeff, and I appreciate that opportunity, too. So Katie Britt for Alabama on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So please, please check us out. Follow us. Help us spread the word. We have to be a grassroots campaign, and that is what we've been doing, going to every county and meeting with people and listening, and word of mouth, people telling people telling people. And our website is katiebrittforsenate.com. Please go and learn more about the campaign. We believe there is a lot at stake in this election. We must go fight for the country we know and love. This country was founded on Christian conservative principles. It was founded on protecting your individual freedoms and liberties. We need somebody that will go fight for those things and fight for hardworking Alabamians. So please go learn more. We would love to have you on the team. I believe I have to earn your vote, and that's what I'm working hard every single day to do.
Katie, we appreciate your time this morning, and stay safe out there on the trail.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Katie Britt running for U.S. Senate there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. It was useless. Them people all were fools.
was the finest pickup to ever play the blues.